Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mark's Race. We are back. And we'll give you some, I don't know if it's really news, but it's just it's an article that's out there about the Phillies, and maybe they should be out longer than a week.
Huh?
Yeah. Give you...
What?
No.
And Jack just said, well, they can't do that. It's like, well, they can do it. It would just mean that they miss even more baseball. This is quickly becoming.
No, John, they can't do it.
Right. Exactly.
They can't, please don't.
Well, listen, we'll give that to you in a second. But Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. They're not doing Rights to Ricky Radio since there hasn't been games in a while.
Classic Julio. I mean,
well, that's going to start back up once.
It has to start back up.
Yes.
Hold on. So there's a difference. Right to Ricky's Radio.
Okay. Well, there's Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio on Wednesday nights that goes on during.
Oh right. Yes, I got you. I got
Spike
you now.
Just joined Julio for an hour,
but that hasn't been on in a while.
Got you. I'm caught up now. I got you. I remember. Yeah, Wednesdays. Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
And of course, Spike has his podcast. Mm-hmm. That's been for years now, right? I mean, it started with The Process.
When they finally asked me to come on.
They did.
A couple months ago, yeah.
You were on?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that. Well. Now you've arrived. You can officially retire.
I was on there talking hoops. We didn't even talk football. It was all hoops.
Well, after you, they went Andrew Yang, Daryl Morey, and now Joel Embiid.
Wow.
Come on, bro. Yes. Picking up. Podcast is picking up.
You opened the floodgates.
That's right.
Well, so they had Joel Embiid. They're doing a video podcast now because, I mean, why not? Is it Zoom or?
Yeah,
Zoom, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good.
Yes.
Right? They had him on for nearly 45 minutes. And from what I understand, I didn't get a chance to listen to it because I didn't see that he was on until this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking about Ben Simmons. And Jack, my understanding is that the cut, it's just talking about, can he play with Ben and, you know, can they coexist in Philadelphia? Here's Joel Embiid.
When you think about it, we've only played, this is what, our third year together playing? Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people always, you know, they expect, like, we've only played for 3 years and the potential that we have. And I love him and I want to be with him for the rest of my career because I think he still has a lot of potential and me too. Like, we can get so much better than we are right now. And, like, I don't see the point of ever, you know, playing with somebody else. So, you know, that's someone I would love to be playing with for the rest of my career.
Mm.
Well, you know what, Ike?
That's what I'm talking about, big fella. Excuse me.
He's not, I mean...
What?
He's not wrong. What are you eating in there? What are you eating?
I wasn't eating anything.
Did you choke on air?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Can you grab that for us, Jack?
You're so excited.
Of course
about
he did. And you know he did.
Wait, are you drinking? What are you getting? Drinking a black cherry wish deck in there or something?
I don't have anything. It just happened, man.
Okay. Right, sometimes it happens. I agree. So, I mean, but what he said, especially to the start of that, which was they've only been playing for a couple of years, for years now, like, You've brought this up many times to where I think last year you said these guys aren't ready to win. They're still young in their career. If you look at how long it took MJ, how long it took Bron to win.
All of them, yeah.
We're expecting these guys to do something that's really unprecedented in the NBA among star players. And I mean, me being the prime example of somebody that reacts pretty harshly when these guys don't win, maybe it's unfair that we expect them to win in the fashion that we expect them to win.
Yes and no. To have realistic expectations for them to win a championship right now, yes, I think that's unfair. But at the same time, I don't think it's unfair to expect them to continue to grow every year, because I think fans would be okay if they saw growth every year, right? Like if they saw – and I don't mean this incremental growth where you're like, oh, okay, he went from shooting 65% at the free throw line to shooting 68%. He's headed in the right direction. No. You want to see a marketable difference in their play out there. The two biggest things that plague these guys when it comes to what people are critical of them about is going to always be, for Embiid, health and conditioning. So he's going to have to get through a season. Listen, we're in the day and age of load management and all of that stuff. Right. One of the top five players in the NBA doesn't play 82 games a year in Kawhi Leonard. So I'm not gonna rip Joel Embiid for that, to expect a 7'2", 270-pound guy to go out there and give me 30-plus minutes a night for close to 80 games in a season. That's unrealistic in my opinion. But if he can play 65 games a year, right, if you can play 65 games a year where you're playing 30-plus minutes a night and you're giving me all NBA type of performance, meaning every time you step on the court, you're 25 to 30 points with 10 to 15 rebounds and some block shots.
All right.
Like, that's the type of ability you have, right? I'm actually – and if you talk about the guys from the 90s, those guys did give you 35-plus minutes and all NBA performances. And I'm talking about the greats, the Elijah Wans, the Patrick Ewings, all those guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they were in their fifth and sixth year, they weren't doing load management. Right? They weren't doing load management.
No, that wasn't even – I mean, guys played every game that they could unless they were legitimately injured.
Unless you were legitimately injured. So that's going to always follow Embiid until he can get past that. And with Ben, he's the more difficult one because you don't have the injury factor there outside of his first year. He is usually healthy. I know he had the back issue this year, but the pandemic helped him to not miss very many games from that standpoint, and he's going to play in the restart. But for the most part, he is healthy. He's athletic. You see the potential. You see how he's difficult to sort of guard. But then there is a – to me, there is a passive trait in him to where – either he's going to have to adjust or we're going to have to adjust our thinking when it comes to scoring and having an impact on the game from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have a thirst for scoring like fans want him to. And it's because he does so many other things.
Well, I mean, listen, it's not – I mean, you're right, but at the same time, it's – I mean, he can score points without even shooting. I think, like without shooting from the outside,
right,
he can score points just by cleaning up on offensive rebounds and transition. Mm-hmm. But I want to see him at least be willing to shoot. I don't even care if it's a three-pointer, a mid-range jumper, mm-hmm. for when they sag off of him. He'll never develop to his full potential unless he develops that in his game. And I think
I think part of why people look at him the way they do, it's because he's not a dominant scorer. So when you have 14, 15, 16 points, people are going to always want more.
And he's not about the points. He's about everything else. I mean, honestly, like, I like the unselfish nature of
Ben. He's an unselfish player, yes. He's not a gunner, right? He's not like some of my favorite players. Shoot that thing. Shoot it. Shoot
it. He's not doing that.
He's not doing
that. It's been a big adjustment for you, hasn't it?
Well, that's why the other guy's a little bit more of my favorite. But I'm starting to warm up to Ben, and I can accept what he is. Because I don't expect the scoring anymore. I don't expect 25 to 30 points. I just don't. I expect more of 15 to 20 points.
20, yes, 20s.
That's what I expect.
Mm. Yeah, I think I react the way I do to these two because I'm not seeing progress, right? Mm-hmm. Like, forget about championships for a second. If I felt like that, you know what, Joel's starting to get it, right? He's starting to mature. I mean, the very beginning of the year was the same thing. All the stuff he was supposed to learn was in the fight with Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, it was like the second game of the season.
Third
game of the season.
The injuries, and now with this, he's already got a calf strain, you know, to where, like, do we really expect him to remain healthy for the 8 games before the playoffs? I mean, I don't know. And with Ben, like, we thought he was going to develop the mid-range to the outside mm-hmm. shot this year, and he didn't do it. But as far as breaking them
up. How about this? Develop the confidence to shoot it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what it is. Develop the confidence to shoot it.
Yep. Yeah, and I still don't know if he's going to shoot it because he hasn't shot the last 2 games. Everything was inside the paint area there.
Yeah, was it Saturday or Friday they play? Tomorrow or
Saturday?
They play Saturday.
Pacers. Yep.
be interesting to see that. But I'm not breaking them up because I'm never going to get fair value in return. So the last thing I want to see is Embiid traded away in 2 years. He goes to somebody like the Clippers or some team, and he's winning a championship somewhere else where he has a wing player who is a volume scorer, a guy who wants to shoot and do all the other stuff. So that it makes him even more dangerous as a player.
They got to put this team together better to get a, to have a run with these two guys, right? Like the Al Horford thing, that has not worked out.
What they need is more slashers and shooters.
Yeah, they need guys that can score.
Yeah.
They do. They need guys that can score.
Adding Al Horford honestly hurt their development.
But if you think about this, and we're all on the same page with the contract they gave him and everything else, but if you think about it, think about the reason why they did it. They tried to couch it another way, but it was really insurance for Joel Embiid.
Correct.
Yep.
Backup
center and starting center when he's not there. No, you're absolutely right.
That's why they did it.
Well, it didn't help that Al Horford never missed a three against the Sixers, so they just assumed that.
That's going to help us out. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He's not on that team. He's on our team now.
Right.
Meanwhile, guys up in Boston in the media called him Average Al. We didn't realize that. I mean, that's kind of what he is, yeah. Right? All right, let's get out Tom and Gulf Mills here on the Phillies thing. What's up, Tom? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, Tom.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, I vote for you to be compliance officer. You got my vote.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that, Tom.
Yeah, so you guys are critical, it sounds, of the Marlins playing with guys that tested positive on the day of, four players. So my question to you is, what number of players need to be positive before the team cancels the game?
I don't have an answer for you. I hear where you're going with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you tell me. You're a physician, so you tell me what you think.
Well, so I don't think that the Phillies manager got this from the Marlins. You know, if he did, he got it from somebody that tested negative that day. And if he forget that he went in the locker room. Let's hope he didn't go in their locker room because then all bets are off. But, you know, the at-risk period, you know, is 10 to 15 minutes within 6 feet of somebody without protection
puts
you at risk. So what is he doing talking to one of their players for 10 to 15 minutes out on the field, you know, 2 or 3 feet away from him? I think it's much more likely that he got it, you know, out in his life, you know. And I don't think the NFL is going to be immune from this. They're going to have the same kind of problem. Here's the problem. Even when you're testing guys every day, as soon as a guy tests positive, he's infectious. So let's say you're testing everybody at 10 o'clock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, so at 10 o'clock, he's negative, but at 2 o'clock that afternoon, he's positive. But we're not testing again until 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Right.
So now he's infectious. So, you know, especially in the locker room, that's toxic.
Well, that's why, and I understand your point, Tom, but that's why, even though you're being tested, and if a test doesn't come, or it can't come back positive or negative immediately, it's going to take a little while, but that's why they are still being encouraged to practice social distancing within the building. Like, they are still, it's not as if you come in, take a test, and everything goes back to normal, meaning that you can have 12 people in the meeting room, you can all be bunched up in the locker room. They are still, they have equipped the facility to where they can be socially distanced.
Right, and they need to be. I mean, so those guys sitting in the dugout, because that's semi-closed environment next to each other, I don't know what they're thinking. You know, they think they're immune. You know, in football, you've got some really big people out there who are really at risk if they get this disease. You know, it's not like baseball players or hockey players where you're mostly thin or not terribly overweight.
Yeah.
You got NFL linemen who are huge and at particular risk if they get COVID.
Got you. Yeah.
We hear you. And listen, that's why you got some guys opting out.
Yep.
In the NFL. You got some guys who decided they're going to opt out and not play for whatever reason that they feel that it's not a safe environment for them. So, but I don't think the safety protocols that are in place are there, and they're going to prevent anyone contracting COVID-19. Like, it's really to keep the tracing of it, and once you discover it, now react to it. Get that person out of the building. Make sure that person is quarantining. And the idea is the other measures that are being taken after you've taken the test and your temperature and all that stuff, meaning how you operate around the facility, how practice is going to be scheduled, all that. Teams have been advised, and as a matter of fact, I think they had to all 32 teams had to get approved their protocols, right? They all had to get approved.
Sure, sure they did. Yeah, the NFL is making sure that everything's buttoned up.
Right, and I got a chance to see the Rams facility on NFL Network. They did a tour and had somebody take you in. Really,
like if you were
what you would have to go through, what the locker room looks like, what the meeting rooms look like, even the helmets that players will have the option to wear, helmets that come with a mask that you can attach to it. Not the face mask, a mouth covering mask, a see-through, I don't know if it
with
was
some
plastic
holes in it, right?
With holes in it. Yes.
Oakley made it.
Yeah, so at least the NFL has been able to do that. And I don't want to hear, well, the NFL had time and this and that and the other. No, the NFL's reporting to training camp.
Baseball's had plenty of time
this right. If their intention was to play this year from the jump. But if you drag your feet for months negotiating and trying to make sure you can save as much money as you can, and then you realize for some of the owners that it's probably better financially if we don't even play, that causes them to drag their feet even more. Because now you got to not only negotiate with players on fair compensation, you got to convince your other co-owners, the owners in the league, to really vote to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is everybody really – now, I like what the Phillies did. The Phillies, they used their concourse, like right? The area up there where you go to for concessions.
Yeah, the concourse, yep.
So they have things in place so that their home team can social distance. Now, what happened when the game started, I think people got a little absent-minded and forgot that they're in the middle of a pandemic.
I mean, because the caller said, like, he didn't know what the players were thinking. The players are just like the rest of us out here in society. You get people that are wearing their masks and do what they're supposed to do, and you get a lot of people that don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, the Marlins players that went out in Atlanta and probably weren't wearing masks, right? Who knows whether they were wearing masks or not. But, like,
yeah.
What were they thinking, right? They were thinking the same thing that other people were thinking, that this isn't a big deal, and I'm not going to get it.
I'm not going to get it.
Right.
Yes.
And now there's 17 Marlins of the 30-man active roster that has tested positive.
Right.
And two coaches.
And those three or four guys that went out in Atlanta, well, you brought it back to your ball club. You got on a plane with them the next day to fly up here to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Breathing the same air, right?
Now, like, now you've put the league at risk.
Now you put the league at risk.
Ruined our fun.
Yeah. And the idea that the Nationals and the Blue Jays would have to play six straight games – well, if that's how they're going to get their 60-game quota in, like, that's what baseball's going
to
do.
That's what they're going to have to
do. Like, that's what they're going to do.
Well, an updated story here on The Athletic by Megan Montemura says she spoke to a doctor who said the Phillies should shut down and quarantine for 10 to 14 days since exposure. And if one or two teams have to shut down, the doctor said then every team should, both for health reasons and for the sake of competitive integrity. Well, competitive integrity, that doesn't fall under his expertise. He's a doctor, right? So if he's saying that they should shut it down because of integrity of the game, then, like, that's not your department to decide.
Right.
Let other people decide.
And that's the only reason he's saying shut it down. That's probably his biggest reason.
The fact that he mentioned
competitive
that,
balance. Yes. Yes,
it is interesting that he says that 10 to 14 days since exposure, because I've seen that elsewhere too. But see, here's what we don't know about this, like. Back in March, and even I think in April, like, not everybody was wearing masks. Mm-hmm. I remember going to the grocery store, deep into April, and these poor cashiers didn't have masks on.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I have, like, a helmet on, and I'm going home and unloading my groceries naked, right?
I unloaded the groceries naked.
Right. Mm-hmm. So for a while, they didn't know, like, you just thought if you're healthy, you don't need to wear a mask. But then what you realize is there's people out there that are healthy that don't realize they're asymptomatic, and they're spreading it that way. So there's so much stuff that doesn't go on. So maybe they're not right. Maybe they do need to wait longer. I mean, I don't know. We don't know any of this for sure.
Well, here's the thing. Again, I go back to this. Wasn't the original plan that if someone tested positive, they have to go quarantine. Now, that's to 10 to 14 days. Remember, everybody was like, well, if Mike Trout goes sees his wife have a baby, he has to quarantine for 14 days. They didn't say the Angels have to quarantine for 14 days.
And meanwhile,
they said,
Mike
Trout has to.
Zach Wheeler's wife had the baby, and he pits the next day.
Right. And now, listen, I didn't want to bring this up last week, but yeah, I thought he was supposed to quarantine for 14 days.
But I guess that was only in the bubble.
I think they're making it up as
they're
go.
Making yeah, it up as they go
exactly.
along.
Exactly. That's
they
what
are.
I'm saying.
They are.
It's like I think they put it out there saying we're going to be really strong on this, but they're not really being
strong.
What did they think that they were going to do if a couple of players tested positive? What did they think that was going to happen and they were going to do?
I don't think they were expecting 17 players. I think they're expecting like maybe two or three. I agree with that.
No, yeah. I know, but don't they realize that when two or three have it, if they're not practicing social distancing and they're not wearing masks, that it's going to spread to everybody else? God, they're so poorly prepared for any of this stuff. Like, it's unbelievable.
What is the 60 players for?
This.
I keep going back to that. Why have a 60-man roster?
When you had a player that tested positive, you were supposed to swap them out and bring in other guys. But now they're realizing that maybe that's not safe enough.
Wait, did they not realize that it's probably in the clubhouse? That teams don't want to go to a clubhouse with a team that was sure. just...
That's what they didn't anticipate.
That's what they didn't anticipate, right?
That's what they didn't anticipate is players coming together and saying, no, we're not doing this. In other words, Major League Baseball doesn't feel as if they can make a team show up somewhere and play. So now they have to adjust on the fly because Washington voted team-wise that they weren't going to Miami.
Yeah, wisely, by the way, wisely. And if Major League Baseball was smart, they would say, you know what, we'll figure out other places to play. We're not sending people down there right now.
Yeah, see, but here's where I disagree with that is that you either the league is the one that's running it or the players are deciding it,
well,
right?
Like you can't somewhere in between. Ike.
Well, you can't run the risk of players saying, "Oh no, I don't want to play," right? Like you leave the other team in limbo that you're supposed to play.
No, you're right, but unfortunately, because baseball, I mean, it's like we're saying, they don't even know what they're doing. They're figuring this out as they go. Now the players actually have to be the one in command of this. They're saying, like, hang on, this ain't right. And baseball's like, oh, okay, yeah, you guys are right.
Do you think if you get to the regular season with football and a couple players test positive, you think they're going to cancel the game the next week?
Huh.
That's why they have the roster in place, the extra players there.
Yeah, so what happens when an NFL player tests positive and then a couple other guys do? Does that mean that they're not playing a game?
Well, they do have, like, the Phillies are, it's 7 days between football games at least.
Yes.
Like, so they would have time to kind of...
You know, but what happens if guys test positive? They're getting tested daily. What happens if guys test positive on a Wednesday?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't mean they're going to test positive on Monday. They could test positive Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Right. What happens if a couple of guys on Wednesday or Thursday test positive, like four guys?
Yeah, five guys. Yeah. You going to cancel that game
right.
Sunday?
So now you have to wait to test all the other players. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Nice.
How do they get around it? I mean, if guys,
I don't know.
I don't know either, Ike.
I mean, you have an expanded roster. There's not going to be much contact. I don't see the NFL canceling games during the season. I don't see that.
215-592-9494. Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494. We'll talk about all this with Ruben Amaro Jr. He joins us at 4:00. He'll be joining us every Thursday at 4:00 to discuss the Phillies. Unfortunately, this week we don't have a lot to talk about. We have three games. I don't even remember what happened in those three games, Jack.
Well, they were bad.
Yeah, they weren't good. Zach Wheeler was good. Mm. We'll get to the phones as well coming up. Also, Jack Fritz celebrating his 1-year anniversary as producer of this show. Is the show better or worse? Is Jack a better producer? Or is the show suffering since Ben Livingston left?
Yeah!
We can discuss it. We want to hear from you. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, summer is here, and I can't wait to get my hands on Tasty Cake's summer favorites. Now, I'm talking about limited edition treats like Tasty Cake Orange Mini Donuts and Sweet Rolls. How about this? S'mores Candy Cakes and my personal favorite, Lemon Cheesecake Baked Pies. Now, it doesn't get any more delicious than that. So do yourself a favor and head down to your nearest store to make happy happen with some delicious Tasty Cake treats. Follow Tasty Cake on Facebook and Instagram for more. Tasty Cake makes happy happen.
Yes! So crazy right now.
You hear me hit the post right there? That's what I'm talking about. Marks and Reese, we're back. Jack, that was number one in what year?
2003. That feels long ago. 2003? I thought that was like 2007, 2008.
Yeah, I guess. Listen, this is the first. Is this her first solo album? This is when Beyonce wasn't that little ice princess from Destiny's Child that wanted to keep everything all buttoned up and everything. She was discovering her womanhood when she came out with this one.
You're damn right she was.
Oh, man.
Was this the same time as you get a...
It's when Jay-Z took her to a whole nother level. Jay-Z said, let me spice this thing up for you, B.
Was this the same that you got to put a ring on it?
Yeah, that whole album, I believe. Yeah.
All right.
Single album. Ladies on that one?
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, she came out.
Hold on. Was that a Destiny's Child song?
I don't think so.
No. That may not have been. No, that might have just been her. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was solo.
Yeah, that was her first solo album.
All right. Love that. Love Throwback Thursday when Jack goes into the archives and gets all the number one hits. That's what he's doing. And that's something that Jack Fritz has brought to the show. We'll get back to the Phillies phones in a second. Hang on. But on this date, last year, and I posted this throwback picture, Ike, to our Instagram page, which is Marks and Reese, WIP.
What you got?
Well, a year ago today was the Marks and Reese Invitational, and it was also Ben's last day. Ben Livingston, our old producer, was his last day with us. So he was out at the Invitational. We weren't on the air. We took a picture. We posted it up there. Angry Al's in the picture, by the way, too.
Shout out.
And people always have the same reaction with Angry Al, which is, that's what Angry Al looks like? Like, ugh, I didn't know that. But anyway, so Jack took over, and we knew Jack. Jack had been the fill-in when Ben was out. Jack was the nighttime producer, right? He stole High Hopes away from me, the podcast. Swept right in and stole it. Mm. I haven't been asked back since.
Man.
But so where is the show today, Ike? And we'll just start with us. Where is the show at right now compared to with Ben? Like, see, that's what Jack offers right there, is he offers some of the music stuff. That's what Jack offers to me, one of the things he offers. Like, that's good.
Ben, music taste?
Well, no, Ben would never be like, hey, let's play some songs from number one hits from the 2000s. Ben would just come back with Blues Traveler, whatever's next on the thing.
Yeah, okay.
Blues Traveler had a good little run there.
Shut up, Jack. But you get, like, he doesn't even think that maybe, like, hey, let's spice it up. Let's do a little something today. So Jack has creativity in that aspect. Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes he does. So I'll give him props for something like that.
I thought Ben was funnier.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, in a way of not trying to be funny. When he tried to be funny, it was awkward. But some of the fact that he's not really a sports guy, I think that helped his whole producing out, and I think that added to the show because he was almost learning stuff, or he would have certain takes that didn't make any doggone sense.
None of it, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
How old is Janis Joplin now? She's got to be in her 50s.
What?
See?
And he was talking about Jenna Jameson.
Yeah. The Dr. J? Come on, man.
Dr. J, you got us?
I got you. How's it going?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Dude, that's not Dr. J.
I'm doing great. Hang on one second. I'm just walking across the house.
That's not Dr. J, dude.
That's not him.
Poor Ben called the number, said, "This, I'm going to put this guy on the phone as Dr. J."
I mean, it's also equally as disappointing for Chris Carlin.
No, it's more disappointing with Chris Carlin.
Yeah. I mean, just very sad.
Because he's older. Yeah. Like, come on, Chris. Seriously? Yeah,
I'm surprised he landed on his feet after that.
He landed on his feet. But you could tell that the wheels are spinning in Chris's head when he's saying, like, hey, Dr. J, how are you? You can tell that he senses something wrong. Luckily, you came in right away. We're like, that's not Dr. J, dude. It was awesome. All right.
Yes.
So here's what I'll say, right? Because I agree with you. Like, Ben being odd added to the show. There was comedy with Ben and the cat. And he would dance with the cat.
Yes.
And he's wearing tighty whiteys, making underwear and things
Jack
like that.
Jack doesn't get videos like that anymore.
No, Jack's boring.
He's made it.
Jack's boring when it comes to stuff like that.
Well,
right?
He used to do his little walk videos where he record himself and give us sort of Jack's thoughts.
None of that's happening.
He's quit doing that.
Well, I might start doing my walks to work now. I'm walking to work. Maybe I'll start periscoping my walk.
There you go.
But that's the other thing.
Give us your morning thoughts or something.
No, Ike, but that's the other thing is he doesn't share enough about his personal life on the air. Right, like the fact that he moved.
Well,
he moved.
Big time baseball player.
But I mean, listen, he moved. Yeah, I mean, you have that, the baseball stuff. But, but he moved, right?
Yes. And I didn't know he moved.
No, I didn't know he moved until I saw a picture on Instagram of a he had a laceration on his arm. He's like moving wounds or something. It's like you moved and you didn't discuss it. Like everybody can relate to moving. It sucks. Right.
Right. Yeah. So meanwhile, Ben has 8 roommates.
Meanwhile, we knew too much about Ben.
Yeah.
Way too much about Ben.
Yeah, meanwhile, he had no problem sharing his personal life.
He had a very quick trigger.
I mean, dating apps, everything, man.
Everything,
yeah, yeah.
Man.
Ben laid it all on the table
right.
for us.
And we love that. Yes. Now, I'll say this, that the things that Ben was very good at that maybe you're not as good at, but then the things that Ben wasn't good at, like creativity and some mm-hmm. things on the fly, you're very good at. So I think the perfect producer would be you and Ben. So we've asked Ben to come back, and you're going to be his associate producer now, Jack. So Ben is now coming back as the full-time producer, and you'll be part-time pay, but you'll be responsible for screening calls and things like that.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Sign me up. Anytime I can get that.
Don't make him cry in there today, John.
215-592.
I mean, listen, this whole thing's adorable, but like, let's not even. I'm sick and tired of it. I thought I could last 5 minutes, but I'm just about over it. All right, it's not even close. Like, I'm not getting compared to Ben Livingston. All right.
Our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is offering 5 years no interest for all diamond rings purchased in July. Buy the ring now. Shop local. Mark's-Jewelers.com.
Well, hold on, man. What do you mean? I mean, Ben basically gave you an alley-oop, man. He set this thing up for you. I mean, this thing.
He did the heavy lifting on you.
Listen, I understand where we're at now is the top show from 2 to 6. You know, I understand that. But come on, man. You kind of came in this thing. Who would Jack be equivalent to on a sports team that came in?
What, about Barry Switzer?
Well.
Damn near, yeah. Maybe not as much as Barry Switzer. You know what I would – here's what I would equate Jack to. Mm-hmm. And Jack, you might have to do a little bit of homework because it isn't an insult. It actually kind of fits. So you remember the Bad Boy Pistons, right? Well, prior to them finally getting past Boston and winning the championship, they had a great player in Adrian Dantley.
Yes. Right?
They traded Adrian Dantley for Mark Aguirre. Now, Mark Aguirre helped take the team to the championship, but Adrian Dantley was there during those battles against the Bulls and the Celtics with Larry Bird. And Mark Aguirre came in there when they were pretty much just about a finished product,
mm-hmm.
and they were ready to go to the next level. And he's the one that got the championship rings, and Adrian Dantley did not. So, Jack, while you're sitting here enjoying the fruits of the show and the labor, I'm not saying he didn't do anything, just like Mark Aguirre. Sure, he added to the Pistons. He's an all-star player. But, damn, Adrian Dantley went through all those wars with the Bad Boy Pistons before Aguirre got there, and he didn't get to reap the rewards.
It's a good comparison.
You're more like Mark Aguirre, meaning you're a very good player, all-star player, but don't come in here thinking you took the team to a title, man.
No, see, I feel like I'm more like Kevin Durant going to the Warriors. Like, this thing was already a pretty well-oiled machine, but then I took us to a historic level.
Kevin Durant, you hear that?
Of course he went to a different one. There you go.
215-592-9494.
He managed to give himself certainly a huge compliment, give the show a compliment as it is. It was a championship team already, and then take a shot at Ben, meaning that it went to another
level. Listen, he can be Harrison Barnes. He got paid a good amount
of
money.
That's what he's saying right there.
Or he's Pat Gillick and Jack is Ruben Amaro Jr.
Oh, how about that?
Who joins us coming up at 4 o'clock today, Ike?
I love Rube, but please, no.
He's coming up at 4 o'clock. How are you going to insult him today? Last time we had him on, you put some mean phone call.
Yeah, you
call.
Put some damn phone call
Should
up
I
there.
Do that again?
No.
There's more.
No, don't do that. 215-592-9494. We see your phone calls. We'll let you weigh in on the other side.
Oh, man.
And by the way, the Twitter poll right now is Jack is the better producer, 57%.
It's probably closer than he thought it was going to be.
57-43.
Well, no, I mean, you know people love the nostalgia. You know, they can kind of remind themselves of the good old days. He hasn't been here in over a year, you know, so of course I vote no.
Well, he was here for the Bryce Harper story. He broke that.
Yep. Broke that. Nailed that, too. Didn't he break the sort of breaking news?
Yeah, he hit the wrong button. He choked in the biggest moment of his producing life.
All I'm saying is that he put on a fake Dr. J, and I got T.O. right up on the air and knew it was T.O. automatic.
Hold on. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
The man had to tweet the station
well,
to get in here.
Yeah, but as soon as I picked up.
See the tweet, though. Give him credit for that.
All right.
Don't miss tweets.
215-592-9494. Ruben Amara Jr. is coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll talk about everything going on with the Phillies right now. They will not play until the earliest on Monday. The earliest on Monday.
We got to keep you humble, Jack.
Mark Sinriso, 94 WIP. We're back with your phone calls next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.